This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Can I tell you a little bit of my theory? I think some of the Browns has bled into some of our reactions towards the Guardians. And maybe part of me is guilty too. It was going into yesterday. I'm like, man, some of us are really fatalistic because they lost one baseball game. I didn't think they'd get shut out 3-0 again and leave eight on base. But going into yesterday, I go, man, a lot of people are just saying like this is over. I go, some of the Browns' reactions bleeding into this. You can't help but carry over one feeling to the other. It's very hard to compartmentalize all three teams and go, okay, now I'm talking about the Cavs, and I have no ill will because of what we just got done talking about. Like, you tend to be a little more on edge when one of the teams are doing poorly. And the Browns are doing very poorly right now, and it looks like it's going to get even worse. Now, I warned you over the summer that if this thing didn't go right, we might be in Browns prison. Well, Anthony, right now, I mean, we are Andy Dufresne on the bus on the way to Shawshank right now. Because Albert Breer was on afternoon drive yesterday. We are going to get back to the Guardians at 7:20 with Matt Derry. But Albert Breer was on afternoon drive yesterday and had this to say.
I mean, the amount of money that is left on the contract the next 2 years, the amount of cap charges they'd have to deal with is astronomical. We all know the $92 million number and guaranteed money he's owed over the next 2 years. You guys understand, like, there's $172 million in cap charges left after this year. If they were to get rid of him after this year, they would have to account for $172 million in cap charges. I mean, that is just, I don't know how you do that. I mean, you're talking about the great majority of your salary cap in a single year are like a high percentage of your salary cap if you split it up into 2 years. You're between a rock and a hard place in this one. And, you know, I think that's why in all likelihood he's going to be the quarterback in 2025. And if there is, you know, an early exit, it would be after next year, not after this year.
Not a chance in hell. Not a chance in hell. Not a chance in hell. Mm-mm. No. You may not be good. You may not be good. There's no way that's there. If this is continuing, there's no way they run this back.
Well, I have maybe the least sophisticated take, and I've given some very, very unsophisticated takes over the years on this station. I will present to you the one I'm about to author up, which is these things kind of work themselves out. They have a funny way.
That's a very unsophisticated take.
They have a funny way of working themselves out.
How does that work?
Because I'm in agreement with you. There's no way. He's not going to be the starting quarterback next year.
You got
to
sell a ticket next year.
Right.
You got to put some people in the seats.
Right. At the very least.
No way.
At the very least, he might be on the team. He might be on the roster.
Oh, yeah.
He's not going to be the quarterback.
He's not playing that position. No. Mm-mm. Unless he's still on the roster and someone gets hurt. I don't. Can they pay him to be on the roster and not show up? Because I don't think he's going to be a backup. As of right now, I think we may very well be in the final days. How many more games are left this year? 12? Then 16. What's 16 plus 12?
28.
28? Ain't no way you're going to have him out there for 28 more games at this rate. No. No. No.
Like, I just can't fathom, especially when you think about this ownership.
No.
They moved on from Baker Mayfield, and there was a love affair with Baker Mayfield. Well, there's no love affair right now with Deshaun Watson. Like, I wonder, I imagine when Watson, and I seriously wondered about this, Kenny, I want to run this by you. When Watson came in, there had to be, like, let's be honest, I talked to people in the city, he wasn't exactly welcome everywhere. Like,
I know.
Wasn't exactly able to get to all the places that maybe he wanted to go. And, you know, that kind of got smoothed over time. And he's not the pariah that I think some places were treating him right away. So the Haslams, they had him over. They were kind of taking care of him as best they could. They made calls for him, right? They're not doing that today, right? Like, that stuff's over.
No, because he's a pariah, because he's bad.
Because he's bad, right?
Yeah.
Like, that stuff, like, I imagine, like, oh, yeah, Deshaun has the has the line, direct line to Haslam and JW. I'm just thinking right now, I don't know if he does anymore. I wonder if they're starting to do, you know, like in, you'll hear businesses when people are on their way out in big business, they're like, oh yeah, they stopped answering the phone calls. Like the texts weren't going through. All those benefits seem to be going by the wayside. I wonder if that's what it is right now with Deshaun Watson. And this is the beginning of the breakup.
Where he doesn't think him going out there and playing so terribly is the beginning of the breakup. He might he may very well have their number and being able to call him. I don't know about any of that. I flatly don't believe that he will be at this rate. No, there's no way. If he goes out there and he does exactly what he did against Washington, against Philadelphia, we're going to look each other dead in the eyeball and say, all right, 27 more games. We're going to do that? No. No. Mm-mm. Will in Brunswick, you're first up on the fan.
So I guarantee there's a bet at 365 or something has a bet on this, but there is no way that they're going to bench Deshaun Watson. It's game four of the 2024.
Well, I think he's getting benched this week if he plays poorly.
No way. He's not. No way the Haslams are going to bench. They are going to look so bad in the NFL.
They already look bad. Well, no, that's gone. I mean,
they're 1-4.
Guys, nobody thinks the Haslam. So have you heard, Will, real quick, Will, I'll let you get back in. I'm sorry to talk over you. But did you hear over the last 4 days, you had a host at ESPN say they're in the worst position in all of sports, not football.
Dan Orlovsky.
You had Mike Greenberg say what he said about the Browns and this being the most embarrassing thing in the history of the world. Like, the pile-on has happened. Haslams look bad right now.
I only listen to 92.3 for my sports.
Good anyway, man, Will. Good
I appreciate
man.
That, Will. Well done, Way Will. Thank it, you.
Will. An Odyssey station.
But the thing is, I just don't see them benching or anything after game. After maybe 15 games, they might bench him and then say he's hurt. But there's just no way. I mean, that's like just throwing $175 out the window as you're driving down, you know, 480. They're not going to do it. They're already the laughing stock. The NFL has, I believe, there's clauses that they can't they veto out owners because of stupid decisions and certain things. I mean, they did it in the NBA. So, like,
well, that was for a much different reason. That was for a much different reason, there, Will.
But those reasons, okay, can start peeking their head, and things can get said, and you have a coach of the year that's two-time, whether we think he was deserving it of or not.
So you are saying
he's a quarterback guru? That's what's happening.
Are you saying that he's going to start? You're saying he's going to start the rest of this year and next year?
I'm saying that he's going to be the starter the rest of this year, and he will be the starter on day one next year.
Oh, my God in heaven. Will, have you seen Shawshank Redemption?
I have.
Okay, then I want you to next year, week one, remember this. If he's starting, if he started all the rest of this year and he's starting, you need to call me up just like the fresh fish and do fat ass by a nose for me, because that's where I'm going to be at. We're going to be in Browns prison.
We'll do that and the shuffle.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Will. Thank you very much for the call.
I see
it's going to be fresh fish.
Hey, the sisters are walking over.
Lima is going to drag me out of my cell and beat me to death and drag Tubby off to the infirmary because I can't know. There's no, guys, they have to sell a ticket next year. Who's going to go watch that? Who's going to go watch it? Who's going to go watch that at this rate?
Who's the poster on the wall?
I'm afraid.
Is it Sydney Sweeney?
What say you there, Fussy Britches? What are they going to do next week? What are they going to do on October 20th against the Bengals? If he goes out there and he plays like this against the Eagles, what are they going to do next week? You can't have introductions. Or if you do, you better introduce the defense. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Unless the only way I see him starting it is if they then take it personally with him and they go, oh, no, you're going to go out here and you're going to start.
We're going to rub your nose in it.
Yeah, that's the only way I see it. You can't march this out anymore.
Yeah, I just can't.
I'll give him, let's see what he does this week. Probably ain't going to be very good. Let's see what he does this week. And then we have to do this because I'm serious. Like, you do have to put out a product. And you're going to have the fans.
Do you think he's starting in Cincinnati?
The
if they get blown out, if this is a carbon copy of the Washington game, and let's be honest, the Cowboys game, if this is a carbon copy of that,
think about
you think he's starting against Cincinnati?
I don't. I don't, because I got to think about the psyche of the rest of the football team. You have 53 guys run out there on the field. Here come your Cleveland Browns. They see him in the stands. They boo him. They go, they're booing the starting quarterback already. We haven't even taken the field. That's where the boos actually probably do work, because there's no way there's not guys in that locker room. They could say whatever they want to in the media. Amari Cooper's going to speak today, right? It's Thursday. He could say whatever he wants to. It doesn't matter. I think he might have spoke earlier this week. I'm not sure. You can say whatever you want to. There's not a chance in hell there's not guys wondering about him in that locker room. Amari Cooper's shaking his head on the field all game long. Jerry Jeudy on Brian Baldinger highlighted. Did you see how upset Jerry Jeudy was in the end zone? Rightfully so, that he wasn't seen on what Brian Baldinger called a layup pass. This is frustrating. So when they get back from this three-game road trip, if this continues in Philadelphia, like, you have to think about the rest of the football team. We have to think about the product. We have to think about the enjoyment of the fans. Like, you got to sell a ticket. Like, this. I'll see what he does this week. I believe him that they're not going to bench him this week, but this week may very well be the end. Because if they bring him out there, you better not do some post-game introductions, or if you do, you better introduce the defense. You can't do the offense, because if he comes running out there, it's going to be a viral moment that people do not want to hear. Do not want to hear.
If the Guardians lost.
Do you ever have to...
Lost 3-0.
Do you ever have to literally set the table at home for Liz?
No.
For the holidays or anything like that?
Oh, for the holidays, yeah. Okay. Actually, no. She
Kenny
and her
did a great job.
The
he had the salad. The salad fork was where it was supposed to be. We just didn't knock down the meal. I mean, the meal just wasn't what we were hoping it would be.
Oh, I don't know if we do salad forks. She has china somewhere in there. Yeah.
Really?
It's like old family china. I don't even know if it's really china. I assume it is, but I don't know the difference. Who the hell am I?
That's Matt Derry.
It looked like David Venable or something. Like, I don't
ask a guy who knows China.
Yeah, come on.
Matt Derry joins us right now. Derry Brothers Guardians cast. It's on the free Odyssey app. Listened to it last night, or this morning. I was depressed. You made it a little bit better, Matt Derry. He also appears on 92.3 The Fan, obviously. Hello.
Yo, what's up, fellas?
Oh, boy, you seem thrilled.
Oh, God.
You seem just thrilled, Matt. You were in the stadium yesterday afternoon.
I was. So, oh, that was fun. That
so
was awesome.
What went through your mind when the PA announcer said that pinch hitting for Will Brennan is Jonkenzie Noel?
Well, my brother and I were on the first base side, upper deck. We kind of just saw the big fella walking up. We kind of knew it was coming. And unfortunately, after the first time, to me, you can't just let A.J. Hinch dictate everything.
Yes.
And you want to say, I'm assuming that Hinch, that Vogt is thinking, all right, Jonkenzie has seen Brant Herder or Harder, whoever this person. These Tiger pitchers, you have to remember, guys, in August, these guys, most of them, Gunther and Herder, these guys were in AAA with ERAs of 5. They've come up here and they're magicians now. It's crazy. But regardless, I think Vogt thought, all right, Jonkenzie has seen this lefty down at AAA before. Maybe he's had some success against him. Let's play the hunch here for a 3-run bomb. And there was, instead it was a fly ball to left that would have been a sack fly if Jimenez had laid the bunt down. They're not playing good baseball, and it's everywhere. So you can't allow the other manager to just, you know, you empty your bench. Not empty your bench, but two of your top guys are already out. You can't let them do that. But all of this is a moot point, and I saw your videos from this morning. If you're a big guy and you're highest paid player and a guy that people are saying you build a statue for one day, Jose Ramirez, if he's not delivering, this thing will be over tonight. He's got to come through. They've got to get him going, because relying on Noel and Brennan, your 7 hitters and your 8 hitters and Fry and Manzardo, no, Jose Ramirez is your guy. And he's not swinging the bat anything close to where it's expected. And that's really hurting this team. And the guys talk about it all the time. He's the one that sets the tone. He's our leader. We follow him. And he's not doing it right now. He's got to come through.
Matt, I mean, you know Lyman and I very well. And you know that we live in an either-or world for the most part. It was not either-or this morning. Like, I brought up Stephen Vogt and how he let A.J. Hinch dictate the game to him. that it seemed that he played into every hand. Like, it was like, well, A.J. Hinch is playing 4D chess. I go, it's not that hard. And Lima made the joke about when your manager's playing chutes and ladders. But Lima also highlighted the lack of hitting. Jose Ramirez, I couldn't help but agree with it. The Naylor brothers, where, you have an out just waiting for you in the lineup, whether it be Bo Naylor or Austin Hedges. But you also maybe put out there something that might be controversial to some. You would knock Jimenez down in the order or Manzardo down in the order, whatever they wanted to do. Would you bat Brian Rocchio second right now?
I'm trying anything. I mean, his at-bats are good. He's swinging the bat well. He's got some confidence. You see the swagger. I saw it yesterday. He just was confident. The strikeouts at least are down for this series as opposed to during the regular season. I know it's only three games. But I do. I would try some. This is what Hinch is doing. A.J. Hinch is just throwing everything out there, and the players are responding. They like it. He's showing confidence in certain guys. He put Bo Brisky in the ninth the other day. He put Bo Brisky in the fifth yesterday. I'm not saying you completely just do a crooked hat lottery and go, oh, today we're going to start Rocchio and have him lead off and Kwan sitting third. I'm not saying that. But I would shake it up a little bit. Maybe you move Jose up to the two-hole tonight and try that. To me, if Kyle Manzardo is the guy that you want starting at DH, regardless of who's out there, let him hit against the lefty. I think.
Yeah, splits aren't all that different this season for Manzardo.
No. I mean, look, of course he's better than right-handers, but he's been one of the guys over the last couple of months that's been hitting. I mean, for people that have not watched a lot of Guardians games, this team struggled to hit in August and September. So this is nothing new. But it's not like the Tigers are smashing the baseball like the, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s Yankees here. I mean, this is – they had six hits yesterday. They've – in the aggregate score, as my brother likes to say, run differential, we're plus one in this series. The Tigers have scored six runs total, and they're nine innings away from winning this whole thing, this series.
Well, the lefty-righty thing, because it's bullpen, this is one of the issues that I think we had earlier in the show. And I'm just wondering, is you follow all these managers, and hell, I'd love to know what you think Tito would do, because I do think it's relevant right now to try to consider, is this because we have a brand-new manager? Is this something that, you know, Vogt would do 10 years into his career? But going righty-lefty, trying to counter, and then having A.J. Hinch be a step ahead of you throughout the entire game in a pivotal, pivotal game that might have swung the entire series, how do you think that would have unfolded with anybody else?
Anybody else, you mean the guys that were supposed to hit originally?
No, what I mean is other managers. Like, that's if we're sitting here second-guessing Vogt, what do you think Tito would have done? What do you think anybody else would have done in this situation, maybe a more experienced manager?
That's interesting because Tito liked veterans. So Will Brennan is more of a veteran player than John Kenzie Noel. I think he would have let Brennan hit. Fry for Manzardo, I think Tito would have done the same thing. So I think Tito would have done one of the two. Vogt did two of the two, just based on, you know, Tito always liked the veteran guy. Fry is more of a veteran than, like I said, like than Manzardo. I think he would have. The way that Vogt said it after the game yesterday was they were both high leverage situations with runners on, and we took our shot. He was hoping that Noel would hit the ball out of the ballpark. He was hoping Fry would hit the ball out of the ballpark. It didn't happen. It then gave confidence to all these young Tiger pitchers who were out there going, oh man, look what our manager's doing. They're emptying their bench already in the second and third innings with two subs because he's just playing the lefty-righty game and we're playing right into their hands. It's gaining confidence for that team that it's happening. It's kind of a snowball effect. But like I said before, Tone, I mean, if Jose knocks one over the wall here, then you could play lefty-righty all day, and these teams are very evenly matched. It's not like the Guardians are getting blown out here. It's everything right now. And you mentioned before about like a guy like Bo Naylor. I mean, Fry can't catch right now. He can't throw. That injury is a killer because Fry would be catching because Bo Naylor is lost at the plate. He just is.
Well, and Fry hit that screamer in the seventh that might have unlocked things and might have, you know, turned their entire fortunes around. We're talking to Matt Derry right now on the hotline. Look, this I started the show saying this is garbage. Maybe some people in baseball absolutely love this. I saw the Dodgers game last night. There were 8 pitchers used. And this stuff would never fly in a 7-game series. It just so happens in a 5. Like, do you see this working for Detroit on their way to, like, a World Series? I cannot.
I mean, it depends on the matchup. I mean, if they get the Yankees, I just don't know if they can, like you said, pull this off against Judge and Soto and even Stanton, who in October recently has been very, very good. It's difficult to do. It's cute. You're right. This is kind of Little League stuff right now, but everybody's doing it. I mean, to sit here and go, oh, what Hinch is doing, yeah, no question, the bullpen games. But Kevin Cash in Tampa has been doing this the last few years. Yesterday, you know, Alex Cobb pitched pretty well, but then he was done. And then he brought Cade Smith into face one batter yesterday. This is the way baseball is going right now. I mean, the Dodgers.
Well, count me out. I'm not into it, Matt. I'm not into it at all. This stinks. You know what? When I watch the NBA playoffs, I see LeBron James play for the entire 48 minutes. Okay? I see the best players. In the NFL, I don't see Patrick Mahomes have to leave the field for 2 quarters.
Actually, you did.
I do not want to see this in baseball. This to me sucks. I don't like this. And you know what? If we're being proactive,
you're wrong. Against the Browns, he did.
He was injured. Yeah, he was injured. But I'm talking about
guys get injured.
Guys can go back in the game. In baseball, who wants to watch this? You think people are loving this around baseball?
Pierce had to do a number 2. He came back.
Watching 8 different guys go to the mound for the Dodgers, who have the freaking $400 million payroll. Who wants to see that?
No, Anthony, I agree with you. Okay, but you got to remember of all what happened in baseball this year, the injuries. All these pitchers are injured. The Dodgers would much rather pitch Yamamoto and Glass now than play the bullpen game. But their guys are hurt. I mean, the Tigers lost 3 starters this year to injury. The Guardians lost basically 2. McKenzie was never the same. Bieber's out for the year, so that's why you have to start Alex Cobb. And hope he goes 4 or 5. Matthew Boyd, you hope he gives you 5. I mean, tonight, Bybee, hopefully, maybe, you're right, we can go old school here and he can give you 6. And then on Saturday, if somehow the Guardians win tonight, you know, Scooble's old school, he's going to go 7 or 8. So there is some of that, but you're right. A lot of baseball right now is turning into this bullpen stuff and managers playing the games and it's not the same. I like your point, actually.
Somehow, I got a weird confidence that they're going to win tonight. You do not share that. Okay.
No, Ken, hold on. I mean, okay. Here's the problem I have. I watch way too many of these games. I know the history. We haven't won an elimination game since Game 6 of 97 World Series. And in that game, the offense was provided by the pitcher, Chad Ogier, with a 2-run single and 2 Manny Ramirez sack flies. That was the offense. It wasn't like, oh, last time we won an elimination game, Albert Bell hit 2 home runs. No, that did not happen. So, you know, this has not been a good spot for this franchise. Indians, Guardians, whatever you want to call them, in terms of elimination games. That's, you know, hopefully they break the hex here because it's been 11 straight losses in these situations. But I do agree. If Jose comes out, first thing they jump on, whoever starts for the Tigers, to Anthony's point, hey, we're not going to, it's still TBD. You know, it's ridiculous. But, like, we know Tanner Bibee's the guy, so Bibee's got to do his thing.
Did we show our hand too early?
2 things. I can't believe they're going to go 20-some more innings without, well, they can't go 20-something more innings without scoring a run because that's the end of the series. But I can't believe they're going to go many more innings without scoring a run. Tanner Bibee, I think, is going to be good. I do think it's coming back for a game 5. Can I just run a theory by you, by the way?
Yes.
You're going to hate this because this involves the Dolans. You're going to hate it.
Oh, God.
I can't be totally surprised. I'm frustrated, but not surprised that we haven't won an elimination. You said 97, the ALDS, like faced elimination, came back and won. We haven't done that.
World Series game 6 of 97.
Well, because Mitch, I thought you said it this morning, Mitchell wrote last comeback in a postseason, which we won the series, 97 ALDS versus the Yankees, is what Mitch said. Okay, it's been
a
long time.
Elimination game, yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It's been a long time. Well, when you perpetually have a very young team, like for us, this is old hat and frustrating. For them, it's constantly new. And for the manager, it's constantly new. So, like, this team in the postseason might be in a little bit of a better spot with Terry Francona, but they wouldn't have been in a better spot in the regular season. Now that they have Steven Vogt, they were in a better spot, but now it goes vice versa, where they're all, with the exception of Jose and a little bit with Josh Naylor, they don't have experience. So, yeah, they don't know what to do in these spots, and maybe they get a little bit too tight.
I agree, but I think Steven Vogt did a whale of a job this year, and I think he'll win Manager of the Year. I know some people in Detroit won't like that, but they won the division. They won 90 games. It was a consistent season for them. You're right. Hopefully there's some sort of buttons pushed tonight where guys get going. And you're right. They come back and force a game five, and then it's all hands on deck, and it's Scooble, which would be interesting. But they've got to score. I mean, we can sit here and talk about pitching changes and all this stuff. And, yes, give Detroit credit. Their pitchers are doing a heck of a job. But Fry's ball off of Will Vest. There was, Will Vest has been so good out of the Detroit pen. Well, that ball's an inch or two higher over Vierling's glove, and it's a 3-2 game with Jose coming up. So it's close. It's tight. I'm with you, Ken. I think they can do this tonight. I doubt they're going to be held scoreless this long. There are some good players on this team. Kwan's been getting on base. We talked about Rocchio. Naylor's had some decent swings. But set your lineup and stick with it for a little bit here. Don't play into their hands. Hopefully, Manzardo's been swinging the bat well. Nearly hit the ball out the other day when Meadows robbed him. So let him play today, regardless of if it's lefty or righty. We're going to see Reese Olson. He's going to pitch. He's a right-hander. Let's see if Manzardo can't get him a little bit here and force everybody to have to come back and play another game on Saturday.
All right, Matt, thank you very much for the time. You know we love you. All the best.
Love you guys, too. See ya.
Matt Derry, Derry Brothers Guardians cast on the free Odyssey app. You also hear him here, obviously, 92.3 The Fan, 92.3TheFan.com. He is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. That is not solace anymore. Great, we got two guys who are going to win Coach of the Year, and they're both possibly with first-round exits.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML.
Fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
The question I'm about to ask, I think, hits at the core of whether you're truly in life an optimist or a pessimist. Because I was talking to Owen before the show about what he was going to do for a potential game five. And whether or not he'd want to be in the building for that. Going up against a stud pitcher. Now, we don't even know if there's going to be a game five, but you have the chance, Owen, to purchase tickets.
Yeah, we've got some tickets for game five.
You have them, okay.
I'm a superstitious man, as most baseball fans are, right? And the last three games I've been to, including game two against Scooble, did not go our way. Do I take up my tickets and go, or do I set this one out at home?
So I think about this.
This is, of course, if they even get to that.
Yeah, and you know, it's a deciding game if you're able to get there. We know how that can go. I mean, whether it was the LeBron years, there would be times, and, you know, even go back to the Guardians in 2016, 2017. You know, they were up in that series in 2017 against the Yankees, and I was in that building, and it was awesome. That was, like, such a cool experience. Until it wasn't, right? Like, that's the hard part about this. I was not at Game 7, but I know lots of people that were, and they had the best moment of their sporting life with Rajay Davis, and then they had the worst after the rain delay. So I guess the question would be for Owen, do you go to Game 5, no looking back, if they get to a Game 5? I think this hits at the core, though, of what kind of a fan you truly are. Like, if you're a pessimist, you probably would rather be at home, right?
Yeah, and, you know, timing is part of an issue, too. This game time could change depending on what happens in the other ALDS games over the next, well, today, between the Yankees and the Royals. I went to game four against the Yankees in 2022, and I told them that was not an elimination game. But I told my wife, I go, if we don't win this game, we're not winning, because they had to go back to the Bronx for game five, and it wasn't going to happen. I didn't think it was in the cards then. It was the Yankees. This is a little different. This is the Tigers. It is.
Which we are on equal footing here.
Like, I think we have the better roster than the Tigers. They have the best pitcher in the series.
I thought we had the better lineup going into the series.
We have the better player. He just hasn't been the better player so far.
So I'm staying home.
So, Ken, what would you... Okay, I'd so why? Home. Why would you stay at home in this situation?
Because I stay home for the Super Bowl. I said if the Browns made it to the Super Bowl, which ain't going to be this year, I would not go to the Super Bowl.
But why?
You have a better chance to get me to the Super Bowl because I don't...
Is it superstitions? Because I would do the same thing even if, you know, if I had the chance to go to the Super Bowl or stay home and watch it. I enjoy the viewing experience more. If it's two teams that I don't care about, I would go to the Super Bowl. But I would enjoy the viewing experience more at home.
Two things.
For a football game. Baseball's one, different for me, though.
If I were at the game, like say I went...
It's Owen's national pastime.
Say I went and I was a media guy, and I know some of those guys, right? It's still a much... If they win, it's a much better experience here. Because with them, it's like, all right, there'd be some handshakes and things like that, but that's their
we're
celebration.
We're partying downtown if they
win. Exactly, but if they were at the game, like it's in, where is it at, New Orleans? All right.
This year, yeah.
All right. So if they win the Super Bowl, that's their celebration in New Orleans. So it's like, here's some handshakes, but I don't feel like I get to experience the whole thing. When it's up here, it's our celebration as fans. And then we all mix it together for the parade. If they lose, then I have to watch somebody else celebrate. And I do not want to sit there and watch people celebrate. I still remember Jonathan Papelbon doing that dance on our mound.
Man. You just brought back some terrible
ever
memories.
Since I remember that, ever since, there's not a chance. You're not doing it. It's not happening. I'm not doing it.
And baseball teams love to play the role of the spoiler because they get to celebrate in your place.
And I'm hearing all these complaints about Scooble and what he did to the fans or whatever. I'm sure that once he came out of the dugout, I'm sure that wasn't just stone silence at Tarek Skubal as he was coming out. But, man, I don't know. I don't want to see them celebrating on our field. Not a chance.
Reaction coming in on X brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Nick says, I stay at home. I don't trust a team who can't score a single run in 20 innings going against arguably the best pitcher in baseball. So Nick is assuming a loss in that case. And to that I would say, to play devil's advocate, because I think normally, Owen, I'd be with you. To play devil's advocate, team needs the fans, man. They need to get that guy rattled. They need fans to absolutely bring it.
I thought we had him rattled last game, too.
There were moments. I mean, you did get your shots. It wasn't like he was unhittable. You did have your shots against him.
Yes.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, they need fans to be there, to be loud, and to not go in there, you know, glass half empty.
I mean, guys, like, sometimes I think they believe, because they're young, they believe the legend before they should. It's like, he's going to win the Cy Young. Well, was Clayton Kershaw not a Cy Young winner, and he still got knocked around at the beginning of his career in the postseason? He got knocked around, too, like it happens. So you have to have some confidence in what you're going to do. Maybe
I'll feel different tomorrow after tonight's game.
Maybe you will. Hopefully
maybe
you will.
I'll feel different.
Yeah, what if we just route them? What if we just route them tonight, and it's Naylor, and it's Jose,
You have not fixed my life. Ken did not give me the answer I wanted.
Well, I would just stay home.
I know. I hate that answer.